Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and MonroeGlobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
About the purpose of this session and these series, I'm going to talk about the mission of it. What's the mission for this school? I'm going to talk to you about the vision of this school. What is the vision that I have in my mind that I want you to achieve? Because vision means that there has to be an end to your activity. There has to be a purpose for it, a destination. And then tonight I'm going to also talk to you about the goals of this school. What are the goals that you want to achieve in coming to this experience? And so we're going to be specific about our goals. And then we're going to introduce tonight, before we dismiss, we're going to talk a little bit about the introduction to success tonight. This is a very important area to talk about when you want to talk about influence. You must connect success with influence. If you are a failure, no one listens to you. Am I dropping out, brother? If you are a failure, no one listens to you. Did you know that?
Yep.
If you broke, people don't talk to you. So we have to learn, first of all, how to position ourselves to become influential. And influence is not just through monetary power. I'm going to talk to you also about the different types of successes. Everyone in this school class tonight, and those watching around the world and in Freeport, you were born to be an influence. But most of us don't have any influence right now. And because we don't have any influence, we are influenced by other people. They control our future. They control our destiny. They make decisions for us. They dictate what kind of life we will have. And they even control how much we are worth. What a tragedy. So we're going to talk about that tonight. What's the purpose for this school? Let's start with purpose first. The purpose for this school. The purpose. Purpose has to do with the intent. What's the intention for this experience that we're going to go through, the School of Success and National Influence? The purpose of this school, I'm going to capsulize it in one sentence. I want you to write it down. Building an educated heavenly and earthly citizenry. That's the purpose for this class. I'm going to say it again. The purpose for this experience, this process, is to build an educated heavenly and earthly citizenry. The greatest weapon of an oppressor is the maintenance of ignorance. Tweet that right now to somebody. I'm going to say it again. The greatest weapon of an oppressor is the maintenance of ignorance. So the greatest threat to an oppressor is an educated slave. People become very nervous about you when you become intelligent. That's why they want to keep you ignorant. Ignorant protects the powerful from the weak. So if you're going to become successful, you must first deal with educating yourself. And so this school is about educating you. But notice, we're going to educate a citizen from two different places. You'll be educated as a heavenly citizen, which means that you have dual citizenship. You're going to learn what your rights and your powers are as a heavenly citizen. But we also need to learn and be educated as an earthly citizen, which the average person in power don't want you to have. So that's the purpose for this school. Another word for education is information dispensing. You dispense information. The only difference in this school is that you won't get information, you're going to get revelation. Now, revelation is information, except it is information before beyond your cognitive activity. That means it is information that you couldn't learn from a book or from a school. We're going to get information from another world. That's why it's called revelation. So that's the purpose of this class, to educate you as a citizen of heaven and earth. What is the purpose for this school with its intent? I have two specific purposes to focus on. Number one is to equip you, the individual, with the knowledge and the principles necessary to achieve personal development for success. To equip you to achieve your personal goals, your personal aspirations, your personal vision, and to fulfill your plan for life. And I think every human wants that information. That alone should give you the incentive to not miss a class. This school for the next few months is to equip you as an individual with the, notice the term, necessary knowledge. Because you can have information that doesn't change your life. You can learn things that don't help you. So we have to learn the necessary things. And we want to use those principles to prepare us and position us to develop ourselves personally. And that development will lead to an experience that gives us the control to achieve our plans and our goals. All right. The second purpose of this class is to equip you, the individual, with the basic knowledge and principles of national leadership. That's number one. We'll also want to educate you about the process and the formulation of public policy. That alone will frighten people in power. We want to educate you, everyone that comes to this class, about the formulation of public policy. We also want to equip you with the principles and the knowledge for understanding the democratic process. Not because you voted doesn't mean you understand democracy. And the people you voted for are very glad you don't understand democracy. So understanding the process is different from participating in it. So you become very educated through this experience. You will learn things that will shock you. You'll be amazed at what you didn't know. And this goes for everyone who will be involved in this. That includes our visitors from around the world who are part of our class. You will learn some things that you can apply to your own country. You're going to understand the processes of democracy. And then thirdly, you will understand in this class, the purpose is to give you knowledge and principles about the art of party politics. And by the way, party politics is an art. You have to learn this art. Why is this so important? Because you are victims of party politics. So you have to understand what you are a victim of, so in case you decide not to be a victim anymore, you can make a decision. And we'll also pursue the purpose in this experience to learn how to influence national and social development. How do you influence national development? How do you influence social development? Because if you don't know how to do it, somebody will do it for you. Some of you in this room have never been near your government buildings. I'm talking about your Congress or your Parliament or your Senate buildings. Somehow we just trust them. So we're going to change that. We want to understand what happens within those walls. And how do you become an agent of influence in that process? We're going to tie this with the kingdom of God. Because that's what this is really about. So that's our purpose. The Kingdom Success and National Influence class, our mission in this class. Write the mission down. A mission means, what do you want to accomplish? The School of Success and National Influence is dedicated to providing the opportunity for any individual to be equipped to succeed in personal life and national influence at the same time. So we're going to give you an equipment, we're going to give you information, give you a lot of material. And there are going to be some great speakers coming to this class who will help me. And they will bring their expertise. So you're going to learn from people who are in the field. And that way you will get the education that you never got in school. That includes college. So we're going to give you the opportunity to be equipped. All right, what about our vision for this class? The vision is very important. I'll give you a chance to write this down. And we will, of course, give you copies of this with the curriculum later. But the vision of this class is to produce spiritually sound, biblically based, intellectually trained individuals. And every word is important. Spiritually what? Sound. That means you ain't stupid and you ain't ignorant, you ain't crazy. Your spirituality is sensible. We also want to pursue intellectualism. We want you to be intelligent when you deal with life. And intelligence really has to do with the proper use of your mental faculties. Your capacity to assess life, to make good judgments, to understand comparisons between experiences that you observe with your senses, to be able to intellectually pass judgment. This is important. So we're going to focus on intelligent understanding as well. But we also going to train you with a clear kingdom worldview. And I think that's the most important part of the vision. You're going to learn the world through the kingdom worldview. Now, everyone has a worldview. Worldview simply means the framework through which someone sees and interprets the world around them. So our goal is to give you a kingdom worldview, which is the view that Jesus had and introduced to the world. And it's the only one he really wants us to have. In order to learn the kingdom worldview, you have to study the world's worldview, so that you can know the difference. And so our vision is to help you as an individual to have a clear kingdom worldview, and that should be motivated by what I call a sense of responsibility to transform society. So our vision is not just for you to sit here and learn. We want you to go out of here and impact and apply to your environment what you learn. In other words, we are here not to make you a good student, but to make you an agent of change. And we will learn how to do it. This school, as far as I am aware, does not exist anywhere else. I got this school direct from the government of heaven. Even the choice of the speakers and teachers that we will use, I had specific direction so that you will have access to information that they wanted to hide from you. And that's important. To make you responsible for what? Transformation of your society through what? Engagement. In other words, this experience is going to transform a sheep into a lion.
Amen.
Anybody ready?
Amen.
In other words, you're going to come into this class timid. And when we open the gate, you can come out wild. Intelligently wild.
Amen. My word.
Boldness is a product of conviction and knowledge. Write that down, please. What is boldness? It is a product of a conviction and knowledge. You gotta have both. And that's our vision for this class, to give you the boldness and the intelligence to engage society. And the second one is to what? Confront issues. Challenge the world system. Speak up without fear, knowing that you know the answer. Wisdom is not afraid of a smart person. When I was growing up, we used to call smart people Elik. Come on, some of you all know what that is. Smart Elik. That word Elik, I still don't know where it is in the dictionary. But what it meant was, you ain't as smart as you think you are. You are an Elik. That's a word they invented in the Bahamas. We want you to become a wise woman and a wise man from this class. Not just a smart person, so that you can confront the world. And this class has a vision also, and the last one is important, to train you to get involved in the socialization and the governance process. Yeah. Write that down. That is a part of the vision. The vision of this class is for you to become an active, engaged transformer.
Amen.
Where the society is affected by you. My goal and my hope is that you will no longer be an observer when this class is finished.
Amen.
You'll be on the field playing the game. This class is not for the weak-hearted. It's not for those who are timid. Now, I am quite aware that there are organizations who will send spies in this class. You are welcome. And we will educate you as well. And when we finish, you're going to join us too. You will see that God's righteousness is the best plan for man. So that's our vision. Now, let's talk about the goals. It's very important. What are the goals of the kingdom's success? A national development school. The first goal is to provide systematic biblical teaching with content from a kingdom context. Systematic. That's why we're going to give you a curriculum. We're going to give you systematic teaching. You're going to learn line on line, precept on precept. I may give you homework. I promise you it won't be homework you got in grade school. No algebra questions. Oh. And you don't got to remember no geometry. Angles or something, okay? It'd probably be mostly reading an article or something that I want you to study. But we want to systematically, biblically provide content for you. The second goal is to establish an environment conducive to personal development and transformation. That means that every session we are going to give you information that will cause you to open up. And there will be opportunity for you to share your questions, your confusion, to ask for clarification, to bring some of your issues to the class so we can discuss them. It's going to be kind of a learning process from one another. We're going to engage each other. We're going to listen to each other so that we can learn. Because believe me, friends, write this down, the students create the lesson. All teachers know more than the student, but the student may not be willing to learn. So your involvement in this experience is more important than mine or the other teachers. Your asking questions will determine what you want to know. A good student always asks questions. So this is going to be a conducive idea for you to grow along with everyone else. The third goal is to provide experts and resource persons to provide information and interaction that is relevant to engaging in the material for learning so you can understand the principles of success and influence. We're going to have experts come in this class and they're going to give you of their wonderful knowledge. Your job is to engage them. That means you ask them questions. You delve into their mind, into their spirit. You drain them dry. That's the purpose for a resource person. In other words, don't sit in this experience and keep your mouth shut. Ask questions. Because the expert is really somebody who's been through a certain period of experiences that can benefit you. But write this down. The mentor only provides information on a need-to-know basis. You should never teach a person who doesn't want to learn. Jesus calls it casting your pearls. Yeah. So I will never tell you what you don't want to know. You're wasting my time. So the resource people are going to come here. I'm lining them up, beautiful ones. They come in and they're going to have knowledge on all kinds of things that relate to success and influence. And you want to engage them. Okay. Goal number four is to motivate you who will be willing to become the answer to the challenges facing your community. That's my goal. My goal is to motivate you to stop criticizing the world Stop complaining and act on correcting what's wrong. That's the goal. The goal is for you to be motivated to become the answer to the questions, to become the solution to the problems. This is what this class is about. It's for you to go into the world and make disciples and transform. The days of complaining are ending tonight. So we're going to have an experience the next few months that will turn you into a different person. Goal number five is to train leaders to enter active public life. Now that may not apply to all of you, but some of you don't even know that you were born to enter public life. I believe during this class, some of you are going to run into your destiny. During this class, some of you are going to be introduced to yourself. As a matter of fact, some of you are going to actually surrender to yourself, because you've been avoiding yourself for years, because you didn't like what yourself was telling you. So we're going to talk about how do you intelligently, skillfully enter active public life with a knowledge and a confidence that you are not intimidated by anyone, that no one can threaten you, because you know how and what to do. I have a Miles Monroe philosophy. You can write this down. This is private. I never pick a fight I can't win. I learned that from Bain Town, and that's the way I work. So when I attack you, you already lost, because I know I can win this. Yeah. So we're going to train you how to become like that. When you get involved in active political experience, you are going to go in there with confidence, with skill, and with knowledge. Maybe not everybody, but you know who you are. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you. Some of you are housewives, and you will end up in public life. Some of you are single people who thought you found your career. And during this experience, the Holy Spirit is going to arrest you and take you back to your passion, which is public life. Be open. Be open. And number six, the goal is to produce and educate the citizenry. That's everybody. To produce an educated citizenry. To produce an educated citizenry. A society where the citizens are ignorant will always breed oppression. No one can oppress an intelligent person. Write this down. You cannot make me inferior without my permission. Can I say it again? Someone tweet that. You cannot make me inferior without my permission. Which means if I have been made inferior to you, that's because I don't know how valuable I am. So if I educate myself, you cannot make me inferior. This is why Jesus never said a human can set you free. You know, we say things like, you know, Nelson Mandela, you know, set the South Africans free. That's not true. We say Mahatma Gandhi set the Indians free. Absolutely not. No human can set a human free. We say, you know, Sir Lyndon Pinlan set the Bahamians free. Absolutely not. Here's the worst one of all. We say that Jesus can set people free. Absolutely not. And there goes your religious mind, that religious thinking. This man is a heretic. You see, okay. Now let me quote Jesus for you. Jesus was talking about slavery and oppression one day. And he said to the Pharisees and scribes, "You are slaves." And they said to him, "We are not slaves. We know who our Father is. We are free men." And Jesus says, "You are slaves." And then he defined it. He said, the only way to be free is not for someone to make you free. But you shall know the truth. There it is. There it is. See, I told you. It ain't a person. You shall know the truth. Emphasis on know. Because the truth could exist, but you might not know it. And that's what this class is about. It's about the knowledge to make yourself free. So other people can't make you inferior and oppress you. An intelligent citizen is a powerful citizen. A good example of this is the Apostle Paul. One day, Paul was being whipped by these Roman soldiers. They were whipping the guy. And you know, the Romans had a certain classification for whipping. You know, for extreme cases, they gave you 38 lashes. Why did the Romans use 38 as a figure? Because the Romans were such experts with the whip that they had. They had whips with like out of leather strips, and they put pieces of steel and glass in the leather. So when they hit your back and they rake it, then it opens up the flesh. And they hit you again, it gets into your skin, they rake it. These were experts. They call it flogging. And they discovered that between 38 and 39 lashes kills the slave. They bleed to death. So when they say they will give you 38 lashes, that means that it is capital punishment. So when you read the book of Acts, it says that when they put Paul in prison, they decided to give him 38 lashes. That means Paul was about to die. Now, Paul was a intelligent citizen. Paul had two passports, and they didn't know. Everybody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Paul had a Jewish passport in his top pocket, a Roman passport in his back pocket. And Paul used them based on what country he wanted to work in.
Yeah.
You understand? And of course, you know the story. As they began to whip Paul, when Paul felt that first one, Paul said, "You know something? I'm going to pull the passport out." And the Bible says they began to whip Paul. Blood spattering everywhere. And Paul realized, if I don't use what I know about my citizenship power, I'm going to die. So Paul ceased being an Israelite. And the Bible says he pulled out his Roman passport and showed it to the soldier and said, "I am a Roman citizen." Now, let me explain what that means. The Roman law, there's a law in the Constitution of Rome that says no Roman citizen is to be flogged or crucified. Only foreigners were crucified. And only foreigners were flogged. It was illegal to flog or crucify a Roman citizen. It's against the law. That's why it was easy for them to say crucify Jesus. He was not a Roman citizen. And Paul's knowledge saved him. And the Bible says the soldier dropped the whip and fell to his knees and begged Paul not to report him. Imagine going from the whipper to the wimp. Because of what? Knowledge. Write that down. Knowledge. Knowledge will make you a powerful citizen. And then finally, our goal is to produce individual leaders with a focus on critical thinking. Some of you older people may not understand what this term means, but you know, let me help you with this. Critical thinking is very important. And this school is to help you become a critical thinker. That means you don't swallow nothing. You don't believe nothing anyone tell you. They can't sell you nothing anymore. When they sell you something, you tell them, let me get back to you. Yep. Why? Let me think this through a couple of days. Let me turn this upside down, turn it right side, turn it up, check it out, cut it in half. Let me dice it out before I accept what you just told me. A critical thinker is one who criticizes his own thinking. They don't criticize you. They criticize their own thinking. This is found in the Bible when the apostles went to preach in a little town, and the people were, you know, they were impressed by the message. You know, they heard the message, but the Bible says they didn't receive the message right away. They went home and they checked the Bible to see if what Paul and Peter preached was there. That's called critical thinking. That's what's wrong with most people in the countries we live in. We just accept anything anyone says because of their position or because of their title or because of their status. We believe that they automatically are right. Let me tell you something. I don't believe nobody. You know what the Bible says about the devil? The devil is not stupid. The devil comes to you like an angel of light. In other words, you can be so confused when he shows up, you think he is Jesus. He will wrap his lie in such a beautiful package of intellectual combobulation that if you are not a critical thinker, you will accept a lie as truth. Let me say something to all of you. A smart person hates a critical thinker. Because they don't want you to challenge anything they say. A critical thinker challenges ideas. They question things. Okay, here's your first exam. What was the name of the people in the book of Acts who did that? Pastor Henry, you were supposed to answer that question. You know, you gotta think. These students here, this is a professor. They were called what? The Bereans. That's in the Bible, okay? Yeah, they didn't accept the gospel just because Peter and Paul preached it. They went home and checked and studied, the Bible says, before they accepted it. They were critical thinkers. Don't accept things because people just say it. And this class will help you to become a critical thinker so that you become an intelligent, mental thinker to the point where when you believe something, it's because you have already expanded your knowledge of it. And that's what this class is for. Okay. Is that clear? All right. So, here's our program. I'm going to close with the program here. What's the program we're going to use? Simple program. First of all, we're going to appoint a teaching faculty that will teach you specific sections and subject matter that will be important for success and for national influence. Secondly, we're going to present you a curriculum for each course that we're going to study in each segment. Thirdly, we're going to provide reference materials and resources for you to use. I may say to you, for example, I want all of you to go to the internet and type in a certain thing and pull up a certain article. I want everyone to read it. Why? Because the next class, we're going to discuss what you're supposed to read. So we will refer to resources. Sometime we may hand out a resource. Sometime we may bring a person as a resource in a class to give you information that is important, relevant to a subject. So we're going to give you resource material. The next thing about our program is we're going to form discussion groups to research specific areas of interest. I might say to you, maybe one of the evenings, that we're going to spend an hour discussing certain specific challenges or items, and you're going to get in groups, and then you're going to spend that time discussing those items, and you definitely will be comparing them with scriptural foundation, with texts, and also you're going to be dealing with what the system of the world says about them, and then come back together, and we're going to talk about your findings, so that you will have explored all the perspectives of an issue to have a clear understanding of what God's perspective of it is. So that would involve some research. And then finally, we're going to identify, and this is very important, practical community projects to apply your principles. In other words, I may say to you, on Monday morning, all of us going down to the House of Assembly, we're going to sit inside. We want to observe what we heard and see if they do and what we read. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Or we may say, we want 10 of you to go to the Senate and sit in the gallery and see what they do and come back and report to us. Or we may say to you, we want 3 of you to go visit the Commissioner of Police and ask him these 5 questions and come back and report to the class and tell us what he says. We want information. We want practical experience. So that when you are finished, nobody can manipulate you.
Amen.
Then our goal will be accomplished. An educated citizenry. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Are you excited like I'm excited?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything in this class will be built on this constitution. We are going to get God's mind on every issue. We get everybody else's opinion. You might as well get his. I can't hear you all.
Yeah.
Clap, man. That's good, Mr. Clap. See, everybody giving their opinion. But I must warn you now, God don't give opinions. He gives commands. So his words are not suggestions. They are instructions. And we want to get his instructions. Amen? All right. Now here's what I'm going to provide for you in the program. I'm going to provide opportunity for field trips for practical exposure. And as I mentioned earlier, we may decide to go and visit another country and come back with a report. We may send Werner to go to, you know, he go into South Africa. We tell him, I want you to meet with certain people, come back with what they think about these things. You go to Uganda, we're going to do some practical research to see what's happening around. Because you see, the world is becoming globalized. And there's no such thing as an isolated case anymore. So there'll be some practical opportunities for field trips. Secondly, we're going to appoint a teaching faculty that's going to be focused on the curriculum courses. Very practical. We're going to provide reference material, and we're going to form these discussion groups again. But it's going to be based on specific areas of interest that we want to know, that we don't know about. All right? Now, let me explain why this class is important. You can write this down. The class is important because we have been given a mandate by God to go into all the world and to declare the good news of the kingdom of God to every creature. That's our mission and commission, we call it. We have come to a conclusion based on our assessment over the years that the world is in need of help. And when I use the word world, you know what I mean by now. I'm not talking about the planet. I'm talking about what? The systems. You all are so wise. And here are some conclusions we've come to. Number one, why is this class important? because the world cannot heal itself. That's proven by the fact that they've been trying for over 2,000 years. Do you know that the same problems that were here in the time of Abraham are still in your neighborhood? Huh? Matter of fact, we're a little worse than them. The Apostle Paul said 2,000 years ago that men are so smart now, they invent evil. That's found in Romans chapter 1. Make a note and read the chapter. He said they are so evil, they what? Invent ways to do sin. They're not satisfied with just natural temptation. They have sophisticated temptation. They invent themselves. God don't even know how they did that. God said, how did you come up with that one? We are so evil that we are sophisticated demons. So the world can't heal itself. Secondly, we cannot sit by and watch it because we live in it. So doing nothing is not an option. That's why we have to go through this. You know, if I could tell you my honest perception of Jesus, Jesus Christ would not have Sunday morning services if he was here today. He would have this class. Because this is where you have to sit down and think and understand and study the environment and then learn the practical principles of God on how to apply them to that environment effectively. By the way, this morning I was in Las Vegas, Nevada. Ooh, gambling city. You know, I was intrigued when I landed in Las Vegas yesterday. I tell you the truth, I almost went into shock. I went into shock. The plane landed. And when I walked out of the airport, out of the aircraft. Now, I'd been in Las Vegas before, okay? But I wasn't ready for what I saw. When I walked out of the, you know, when you come up the aircraft, we come up the aircraft, all the line. And when we walked into the airport, the whole place is a casino. Yes. Yes. The airport had more machines than Paradise Island.
That's right. That's
right. This is true. Okay, so now I took my camera out. I can show it to you tomorrow because I took pictures of it. I want to be able to see how bad they've gone.
That's right.
Then I went to get my luggage. By the way, all the way to my luggage is nothing but casinos in the airport. When I get to my luggage, they got them right there. So while you're waiting on your luggage, you just turn around and you put your thing in. Watch your luggage. I mean, they got this all. They're going to take everything before you even leave the airport. They invent ways. The greatest one is when I went to the bathroom. Hey. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. So while you releasing yourself, they're releasing some money too. Just ching, 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 ching. This is amazing. Is that what they want here? Doing nothing is not an option. Third reason why this class is important is because whatever you allow, you can never criticize. If you don't get involved, you got to keep your mouth shut. Let me tell you something now. When you open your mouth, they don't want you to open your mouth. But what they don't know is you already plan to open your mouth. There's a plan. So it doesn't matter what they say. You don't calculate the fight over. Write this down. Never answer a critic. What did I say?
Never answer a critic.
I'm giving you all some secrets already. You never answer your critic. So the world cannot heal itself, but whatever you avoid, you can never change. So you must become the answer to your own prayer. Stop asking God to send someone to heal your country. Do you know how long people have been praying for their governments? And their countries are still collapsing? You cannot expect righteousness from an unrighteous person. I mean, that is so simple, but it went right over your head. You know the person is a demon. You pray, oh Lord, please, you know, just help us, Lord. I pray for my government. How could you pray for a demon to be good? The Bible does say, when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. Not when the demon who you pray to be righteous, pray in power. No, he said when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. The same verse says, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. I wonder how many countries are groaning. The poor, the oppressed, the widows, the children, the young people are groaning. People losing their houses and losing their sanity and losing their jobs and their businesses and losing their health and can't even get medical attention because they ain't got no money. They're groaning. He said that's because the wicked are in power. Write this down. Whatever you permit, you are responsible for. So we have to learn how to not permit things to happen. You have to challenge them. You have to question them. You have to sabotage them. You have to cut them off before they grow. Why is this class important? Write this down. Because you can let things happen or you can make things happen. This is a school for you to be successful, but also for national influence, to make sure that things happen because you had an influence on them. You were born not just to make a living, but to make a difference. I learned something from God. If you get involved in making a difference, He'll make sure you make a living. Don't wait to get blessed. Attract it. Tweet that. Somebody need to hear that right now. They sit now waiting for the Lord. No, don't wait for the Lord. Get active. Start agitating for change in your environment. So I want to close tonight with an introduction to some keys. And we're going to deal with these the next few weeks. Very important. Next week, we're going to have an expert come in. And they're going to introduce you. I'm introducing you to the orientation. They're going to talk to you about some of the introductory thoughts of righteous politics. Let's talk about success for a moment before we go. Now, I'm going to teach you 10 keys to be successful. 24 hours ago, this last 24 hours, I was invited to Las Vegas to speak to 12 people. Only 12. But these people control over $100 billion. Yes. Hiccup. You didn't hear what I said. 12 people were locked up in a room with me all day yesterday, and they control $12 billion. That's the kind of people I'm influencing. Now, why did I tell you that? I want to tell you why you should listen to me. Everybody say influence.
Influence.
They flew me first class and put me in downtown the strip of Las Vegas in the hotel right next to where Celine Dion was singing. Hey. Chauffeured cars, I walked into the hotel, and I was their teacher from 8 o'clock until 4 p.m. Influence. Do you think I have time to bother small-minded politicians? I am influencing the world. And they could pay me in 1 hour what the politician don't make in a whole year.
My God.
Don't fool with the man. My job is to make you just like that. Success. In other words, I want to teach you the laws that I learned. Success is based on laws. Based on laws. So, I'm going to give an introduction, 10 minutes, and then we are going to pray for you, because I want you to leave here with a little idea of the foundation of success. You want to write this down. I am convinced that everything in creation was designed to succeed. Now, that I didn't always know, because I was born in an environment that was very low cost and poor area. And I was taught you have to survive. So I developed a survival mentality. A survival mentality will always be poor. Because a survival mentality means you don't believe you deserve to be wealthy. So you actually become afraid of success. See, some of you are thinking. Do you know that most people are poor because they are afraid to be rich? Because they are mentally convinced that they don't deserve to be wealthy. They're actually afraid of what they want. And whatever you're afraid of stays away from you. You repel what you reject. So, I had to discover this secret that everything created by God was designed to succeed. Now that was a paradigm shift for me. Because I had to get rid of all of my upbringing. I'm talking about mental damages of to what I expect to be. For example, write this down. I had to be convinced that every human wants to be successful. Is that true? Is that true?
Yes.
Do you know that's exactly why you're here tonight? That brought you here.
Amen.
That brought you to the internet. That very hunger in your heart to be successful made you leave your television tonight. Because deep in the heart of every human being, 6.2 billion, including the one sleeping under the bridge, wants to be successful. Now that makes life very tough, doesn't it? That is the very source of your depression. It is that desire that depresses you. Because you know what you want to be, but you don't know how. So you hate what you are, but you're stuck. It creates depression. That leads to point number two. Success is predictable. What did I say? Success is predictable. Now, there are people who don't want you to know that. They believe that success depends on them. That you have to depend on them to succeed. But I have come to the realization that success is predictable because it's controllable. Oh, I wish you could get this. Stay with me for the next 6 months. See, when I discovered this, I realized it's easy. It's easy. The reason why we fail is because we think success is luck. Luck is not predictable. This is why God hates chance. You are too valuable to live on chance. Your life is not a game. Success is predictable. But here's the mystery. Failure is also predictable. I want you to think about this for a minute. If I took a plant and I root it up and leave it on the ground, can I predict what will happen? Yes. You can predict failure. If I took a plant and I planted it back in the soil, can I predict what will happen? Yes. You can predict success. And your life is as simple as a plant. But it's also as complicated as a plant. Why is success predictable? And why is it failure predictable? The answer is because everything in life was designed to function by laws. And that's the secret to success. So remember now, we're going to learn the 10 laws of success. People spend millions of dollars every year, going to all kind of seminars, reading all kind of positive thinking books and success books, and they still broke. It's because they don't understand. You can't become successful by using another man's ideas. You need your own revelation of those ideas. They have to become yours. Nothing is yours until you believe them. I cannot believe for you. Tweet that. Warren Buffett. I met him once. By the way, he's the second wealthiest man in the world. $46 billion one man has. What is our debt in the Bahamas? 1.5. The guy could pay off our debt with pocket change. Bill Gates is now the number one. Again, the Mexican guy fell a little bit. He's down to 46. Buffett is 47. Bill Gates is 48. $48 billion. I can't even fathom how the guy gonna spend that. Now, when I first met Warren Buffett, he lives in Omaha, Nebraska, so I went there to speak. One of our churches up there. And we met in a restaurant. He had on short pants, no socks. Now, he was a Bahamian. Group of leather shoes. Snake necktie. I wouldn't have speak to nobody. He was so humble. He came to buy ice cream. Richest man in the world. In America, actually. Whenever you meet someone who is successful, you keep asking them questions. So I knew exactly what to do. I started asking questions. And his answers were the same things I knew. Which means there are no additional laws. So I'm going to teach you the laws. Everything in life is a function by laws. And that leads to number 5. Laws make life predictable. If I took a seed and I put it on the tile in the lobby, can I predict what will happen? Yes. I got to pray about that. I don't need no revelation. No prophecy got to come. You don't got to even prophesy. You can prophesy to yourself. There shall not be a tree. Yay, there shall not be a tree. See, of course there will be a tree. You can prophesy it because what have I done? Violated laws. So it's predictable. So whatever you are right now, has to be a result of some laws you're missing. Laws make life predictable. And number 7, your success. Number 6, was designed by God. And there's a reason why. Everything God created was designed to be successful. That's why we have to study success first. Because when you are successful, you become influential. And when you are successful, you become free from those who you have to challenge. This is so important. You know, if you owe me money and then you attack me, you're in trouble. Yeah. So you got to become successful. Now, big question. Why does God make you to be successful? The answer is in number 7. Because your success is good for God. Success in creation is not good for creation. When a plant comes from a tree seed, when it comes from a seed, that is really not for the plant. It's for the Creator. Once you get the concept, the success of a product is not good for the product. It's good for the manufacturer. Are you thinking? Yeah. That leads to point number 8. Your success as a product protects the reputation of the manufacturer. So a manufacturer needs the product to be successful for his sake. Your failure will embarrass the manufacturer. And that's why the manufacturer doesn't leave your success up to chance, guessing, experimentation, or gambling. The manufacturer builds into your operation laws so that you don't even need to think. Oh boy. Because he needs you to succeed to protect his reputation. We have an iPad here. And I assume this is Apple. Yeah, it's Apple. Now, notice I used the name, right? Apple. Apple has a logo on this, right? It is called an image. Write that down. A logo is an image. Now, when they made this, it didn't have a logo on it. In the factory, there was no logo on this. They put all these parts together in the factory, you know, and coming down the assembly line, and they put this stuff together. And when they got to the end of the assembly line, they had this machine. Then they had somebody actually turn it on, and they tested every function without the image on it. This is very important. So there are people in the Microsoft factory, in the Apple factory, their job, they're all day, is just turn it on and check every function. They get paid for that. See, they got about, you know, 1,500 people making it, but when it gets to them, that's all they do. They turn it on, and they do it. Every function it's supposed to perform, they actually go through it. And when they are satisfied that all the functions are working, then they pass it to the other person. And the other person puts it in the machine, and the Apple image goes on it. Then it goes to a plastic bag, then it goes to a box, and then it's sealed with styrofoam, and they put a book on top of it, and they lock it up, and they ship it to the wholesaler, who sends it to the retailer, and you wait it, get it from the shelf, but it's already been used. This is very important. A manufacturer allows no product to leave his factory that has not been tested already. Because success is more important to him than to you. As a matter of fact, he is so sure that the functions work that he actually puts a book on top of it so you can't see it. And then he puts in the book a piece of paper. It's called the warranty guarantee. And then he writes on it, if this product does not function as promised, send it back to us at our expense. Do not attempt to fix it yourself. We will pay for the postage. We will pay for the replacement of a new one. We will fix it by ourselves. We'll repair it. We will send it back to you. Whatever. Just give it back to us. We're going to pay for everything. They don't even know you. That proves that this is not about you. So you miss it. It's not about you. They will pay all that money, send you a new one at their expense, and they don't know you. Let me put it another way. They're not doing that because they love you. I'm getting deep now before I go. See, some of you all think God loves you. No, God doesn't love you. Let me tell you what God really loves. Write this down. God loves his own reputation. Can I prove it? When you read the Bible, the whole Bible has a phrase in it that's a manufacturer's phrase. It says, everything I do, he says, is for my namesake. The same for you. Namesake means reputation. Why do you think God, even though you are a mess, will keep forgiving you? Do you know why? Because when he tested you before you entered earth, you were functioning perfectly. But when you landed in that body, boom, God said, oh boy, in sin did my mother conceive me. So I got a perfect spirit in an imperfect body, and I pray that he connects to me early. And so God sends with you a manual. And he says, you don't even have to pray. God says, Joshua, I got some suggestions for you. You got 1 million people you're trying to sort out. And you seem to be an intelligent guy. He said, but I got a little secret for you. He says, if you keep my laws, obey my commands, do not turn from them to the right or to the left, meditate on them day and night, get them into your circuits, your system. He says, I guarantee you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Success, he says, it's not up to God. The manufacturer, when you bought this tablet you're using today, when you bought this tablet, Apple didn't come home with you. Anybody followed you home and sit in the house and make sure it worked? Manufacturers do not go home with you. They send their mind with you. It's called the manual. They send the laws with you. And they say, obey the laws in this manual. And we guarantee it'll work. And if it doesn't work, you send it back to us. We send you a brand new one. Because this is not about you. So this class is to put pressure on God. To make sure that He makes sure that 2014 is your year of success. And that success is not for your sake. Anybody feel a little thanksgiving coming? Go ahead and just thank Him for a great year. You have to succeed. Come on, Freeport. You will succeed. You're going to make success because you are going to learn the laws. And you'll make your way prosperous. Have good success. Okay, let me give you the last one here. Whatever I did, I don't know what I did. Oh, there it is. Okay. Success. The success of a product protects the reputation of the manufacturer. And number 9, success is not a pursuit. This is very important. You don't pursue success. That's why most people who try to be successful are not successful. Success is a result of obedience to law. Give me an example. If I give you a mango seed, in that mango seed is a mango tree, correct? And on that tree are mangoes, but they're all wrapped up in that seed, am I right? So what you got to do now is learn the laws that relate to seeds. And the manufacturer already built some laws in. He says, okay, the seed, first of all, needs soil. And then it needs some nutrients. And then it needs some moisture. And it needs sunlight. That's the laws of the seed. So, listen to me carefully now. But this is important for some of you religious people. If you took the mango seed and you obey the laws, you put it, you dig a hole, you put it in the soil, you cover it up. Praise the Lord. You pour a little water on it. And the moisture starts breaking down the nutrients. Now, what do you do after that? What do? You do what? No, what do you do after that? I can't hear y'all. You leave it alone. Where do you go? You go to bed. As a matter of fact, Jesus said when you plant it, you go to bed. He actually said you go to sleep. And you rise and you sleep. And He said you keep going, rise, sleep. He says, because it grows by itself. Now, here's my point. When you obey the laws, you don't need to hang around that spot saying, in the name of Jesus, come on up. Oh, come on up. Come up. Yeah. Germinate. Oh, germinate. Yeah. I'm going to quote scripture over you. Thou shalt grow. No. When you obey law, you don't even need to pray. Clap. And this is difficult for us because we love to help God. We feel like if we ain't doing nothing, then we ain't doing nothing. Jesus says, no, when you plant, you go to sleep. Why? Because the laws work automatically. Once you engage them, once you obey them, they have their own productivity on the inside. They begin to produce. That's what this class is for. This is going to be the easiest year you ever had, said the Lord. Clap like you believe that right now in the name of Jesus. Easiest year. So the greatest secret to failure is 2 things. Ignorance of laws or disobedience of laws. That's it. And now you understand why God begs you to obey Him. O obedience is always in your interest. Number 10. Success is a result. It's not a pursuit. You don't try to make that tree grow. As a matter of fact, you can't even help it. Your job is to obey the laws. That's all. And then it happens by itself. I needed to pay for maintenance on my aircraft the other day. I needed $29,000 just for maintenance. It's just me, okay? I'm a different level. Don't come at my level. And so I needed that money in 24 hours. So I said, okay. So I got to find somewhere to give something. That was my first thought. I got to find somewhere to give something. So I went, got my checkbook. I sat in my office at my home. I said, tell me where to give, Lord. Because I knew once I activate this law, I can go to sleep. I got instructions, so I wrote a check. I needed 28,000, 29,000. So I wrote 10% of it. I wrote $2,900. And I called the person and I says, I want to give you this to help you with your situation. They didn't know what I was doing. I was working on a law. They thought they were getting blessed. I was working on a law. So they came by the house. I gave them the check. I says, the Lord told me to bless you with this. They cried, got excited and everything. And then I just rested. I got a call from Brazil. Unbelievable country. Who would call me from Brazil? The guy can hardly speak English. He said, the Lord told me to give you $25,000. I said, is it for the church or for me? He said, no, 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 personal. I wonder how many of you have something that is clogged up with your name on it, waiting for a law to be activated. When you obey a law, you can sleep. It works by itself. Let's pray. Father, this would be a great school. We are going to be transformed from being normal to being exceptional. By your Holy Spirit, you will help us to understand your laws. I pray for each individual here, those sitting at home in England listening to me, my friends in America and Canada, those in the Bahamas who have tuned in, Lord, you don't want anyone to fail. I'm tired of failure. Somebody join me, please. Say it for yourself.
I'm tired of failure.
Say it like you're mad.
I'm tired of failure.
Lord, we are tired of failure. We are tired of scraping by. We are tired of surviving. We are tired of barely making it. Tonight, we make a covenant with you that we will obey the laws we learn in this class and we will protect your reputation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we give you thanks for all you're about to do in every life. And Lord, I pray for that person right now sitting in Freeport, right there in the meeting. You know the struggle you've been going through this week. Tonight, may the Lord give you the courage to activate a law. And your journey begins to the way of success. Lord, thank you for this great school, that you will make us successful by teaching us your laws. And through that, we will become influential and change our nations. I ask you to do this, for you are the manufacturer. We are your products. And you put your image on us already. So our failure is not good for you. Protect your name by changing us in this class. And we ask this in the name of the authorized dealer, Jesus Christ, who came to repair the product so that we could bring back glory to your name. And we say amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yes.
Amen. I want you to get a notebook just for this class.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of anointing in this class. You come here sick, you're going to get healed. Because your healing is good for his reputation.
Yes.
You come here broke, somebody have money in their pockets in this class to give you. Watch.
Yes.
You're going to get blessed just coming to this class. Matter of fact, the day you stay home, I can carry the money back home. Got to be in the right place all the time. Here's what I need you to do. We estimate that the cost of running this place, and this is a free class, but we want you to give a donation every time you come. And some of you may need to activate a law, so I'm not going to tell you what to do, but we estimate that if everybody gave a donation of $20 or $25, that would cover the cost of every session. Okay? So I want you to prepare to give something tonight. What I taught you, I get paid a lot of money to teach other people that. Plenty. I don't get no salary from Bahamas State Ministries. Okay? My gift makes room for me in the world. I will teach you how to do that. I want everyone here to give something. So go ahead and prepare an offering. Those of you in Freeport, do the same. And those who are online, it costs us about $2,800 every time we turn the stream on. Every month, $2,800. So if you give, you know, $25 every time you come on with us, you'll help to cover the cost of this coming to you. In Freeport, of course, you know, you all are family, so go ahead and prepare your gifts. And I thank you so much for obeying the law. Now, we're not giving an offering. We are activating what? A law. See, if you change it from that stuff about, you know, giving offerings to get stuff, you miss it. You are obeying a law. The Bible says, if whatever you receive, you should give back to. So you never come here without something to give. Are ushers here tonight? Okay. Can you bring some envelopes, please? I think some folks here may need some envelopes. If you need an envelope, hold your hand up, please. Envelopes. Okay, we got. You just hold your hand. Hey, envelopes. You may be too far away to reach it. That's why I want you to get. Anyone needs an envelope? You got one? Okay. While you're doing that, we also want to register everyone for this school. Now, registration is not at a cost. You don't pay anything for registration. The reason why I need your information in this class specifically is because I am going to be sending you throughout the month things that I am using to help me succeed. So I'll be sending you emails and articles and ideas. I'll even send you some tips that I use when I'm working on certain areas of my success, so that you can get them. So if you register for the class, then you have access to direct material from me. Is that good? Okay. So next class, we're going to give you an envelope, a card to fill out. And we want you to turn the card back in. I need your name, and of course your email would be wonderful to have. All right. That's what all I basically need, because I'm going to communicate to you by electronic. If I am in Africa somewhere and I have an idea, or if I saw something that I thought would be helpful to the class, only you going to get it. Okay, you register, you'll get it. Nobody else will get it. You'll get it because you are committed to this class. And you're registered, so I will send you that information. Any opportunity to come that I believe, maybe a safe example, if there's an opportunity for you to invest, or maybe even have someone invest in your business, I could send that to you and you can contact them. And so we're gonna use this class not just to teach and to demonstrate, but we also want you to have opportunity to experience success practically. All right, is that good? Now, any questions on this first night before we go? Anyone have any questions about anything we talked about tonight? Good students ask questions. That's a good student. You want an apple? My son. Yes, we're going to record every session, and we're going to have an entire package, so that you will have all the information that you can actually, you can get a CD after every session you can get them, or on Sunday morning you can pick them up. Okay, and some of you are not members of the church, but you want to be part of this class, so that will also be available to you. All right, and if you miss the class because you are maybe your job, you're police or nurse or doctor or something, maybe security guard or something somewhere, because sometimes your schedule may be conflict, you can pick up the session that Sunday or something. Okay, so if you have to miss, it's fine, but try not to do that, because we're going to be dealing with practical things in the class that you can't get on a CD or a DVD. Okay, all right. Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
For persons whose mentality, the mindset has been
contaminated.
Yes. Toxic.
Mm-hmm. I used to be one of them.
Don't believe you deserve to be successful or to have money. Are you going to cover that aspect of exactly?
That's the whole idea of the class.
Okay.
The whole idea of the class is to transform the way you think. Nothing will change until your thinking changes. So the first thing I will do is what I'm starting to do already. I'm attacking your mind. Your mind is a stronghold. And I'm going to help you cast down imagination and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay. So the answer is yes. Hi, dear.
The duration of the class is how long?
The duration of the class? I'm estimating 7 to 8 months. So that means that we have a lot of testimonies throughout this class. We have people saying, here's what happened to me. Here's what happened to me last week. Here's what happened to me on Monday. I expect there to be so many testimonies in this class that you ain't going to wait till December to tell your story. As a matter of fact, some of y'all are going to start this week because you actually came here. God is going to start working on your behalf because you want to know. So expect doors to open beginning this week. All right. Expect that. Yes, sir.
All right. Good night. Dr. Miles, would you be dealing with the issues of legality as it relates to... Some persons are actually sowing seeds and paying tithes, and they're not seeing the results that they desire to see. The legalities of that not happening, are you going to be dealing with that issue?
I think those things happen by themselves as you go through the class. My job is to teach you the laws of success. Your job is to work them, and again, tithing to me is really not like a law, it's an awareness that as a citizen, you pay taxes, there's some folks in our country who didn't pay taxes. So the devourer has come to eat their fruit, right? Yeah. So you need to know what to do. You do what you're supposed to do. But you also got to be careful too, because you can plant a seed in the ground. You can plant a, a, mango seed in the ground, and then you pour kerosene on it. So not because you planted it in the soil does it make it going to grow. You may actually be doing something that also negates it. Do you understand? So you give an offering, but you're shacking up with someone because I got a problem here. You're working a seed here, but you're putting something else on it. See? So, you know, why things don't happen could be, you know simple as this. Jesus said, if you bring your offering to give to God, and the Holy Spirit reminds you that you have ought against someone, he said, don't even give it. Go and make it right first, then come back. So you may be paying tithe, but you hate everybody in the church. And God said, your hate shuts down the seed. It's like putting kerosene on the seed. See? So your whole life, success is a holistic thing. So don't walk around saying, I'm giving and I ain't getting. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you get the whole picture? Your whole life have to be in sync with this whole thing. That's why I can't afford to have hatred against nobody. People call me names. It doesn't matter to me. I got to protect my heart. I love them. No problem. I will never get in a fight with anyone. I got to protect my own blessing. Okay? So I ain't going to let you cause me to, not have my tree grow. Mess up your own tree. Don't mess up my tree. I can love you. Now, whether you love me, that's your problem. But I'm supposed to love. That's why I said love your enemies. You love your enemy because you don't want your enemy to shut down your tree by you hating your enemy. Okay, yeah. So what people do is not important. It's what you're supposed to do that's important. Yeah. Sometimes we think that when you forgive someone, they're supposed to forgive you. That's not what the Bible says. He said, you forgive them, that's all. That means you release them, you forgive them. And the issue is now on them. You are free, and then God has an open wind of heaven. You're clear. Okay. Any other question? Yes, sir. Hey, bud. Uh-huh. Speak up loud. I can't hear. Oh, there's someone over here with a mic. Okay, sorry. Stand up for me. It's like a hey voice. Sorry about that. Yeah.
I want to ask your forgiveness.
You want to ask my forgiveness? Boy,
yeah, because I would believe that you had already taught this to me as long as I've been visiting here.
Wow.
But I want you to, at one of the sessions, deal with the laws of God. Now,
sure.
My better half here just told me that I could find him in Romans chapter 1. But I think it's important for us to know them all.
Sure.
So please, one of the sessions, if you can deal specifically with that.
Believe me, there are so many laws, there's no end to learning them. Some of you just think of the Ten Commandments. There's a whole lot more laws than that. And again, we're gonna study the laws of success. And they're all from God. God created everything, and He has laws attached to them. So stay with me, and whatever I have, I will give you. Okay? Yes, ma'am. I'll take two more. Yes.
Good night. I'm Pastor Miles. I just want to say thank you in advance for everything that you are going to teach us during this season. Everything that's going on in the world right now, and especially within our country, it's something that all of us need to know and need to learn how to practice and implement. And you said we're gonna learn stuff. Well, it's already started already. Your law number 5, well, not here, but you will become the answer to the prayer for change.
Absolutely.
I mean, that tonight spoke to me. So good. Thank you.
Good. Now, let me just say something too that you might want to remember. When I went to Haiti, the United Nations have assessed Haiti as, they say, one of the poorest nations in the world. That's their assessment, which I don't believe, but that's their assessment. So I went to Haiti, and when I arrived in Haiti, we were driving from the airport, and I saw a couple of trees growing, beautiful trees. Now, me, I'm the kind of guy, I think differently from most of you. That's why I'm here, and you there. I look at these trees, so I told the driver, slow down. He said, why? I said, I want to look at those trees. He said, what do you want to look at trees for? The side of the road. I said, stop the car. no one knew why I wanted to see these trees. I wanted to study these trees. Trees are beautiful, growing up, nice leaves and everything. And I was learning a lesson. I wrote that in one of my books, just experience of trees in Haiti. That was a lesson. See, the seed had no interest in the economic analysis. The tree didn't care what they said about the country. Once the tree said, look, just give me soil, give me water, I don't care what they say about this economy, I'm going to grow. My prophecy to you tonight is simple. It doesn't matter what they claim the economic conditions are. When you obey God's laws, here comes the fruit. Here comes the fruit. Yeah. So remember, this is not about the conditions that people announce. It's about the conditions that God instructs. So those trees don't know what you're talking about when you make an announcement. They just obey the law. Yeah? Last one. Well, let's try someone else. Anyway, okay, is the last one? Okay. Thank you, Antoine. Have you all planted your seed yet?
Yes.
Oh, ushers, please help me out, yeah? They're going to pass the buckets. And go ahead, Freeport, you can take the offering. And of course, those of you online, you know what to do. I think you pretty much know how to give. Do not just receive. That's not proper. You must also make sure that you activate that law and give back to what's given to you. Okay? Yeah. Yes? Am I done?
Yeah. Good night to everybody.
Good night.
Yeah. My question is, can repentance stop a law from getting into effect?
Can repentance stop a law? You mean non-repentance?
Yeah, non-repentance. I mean, let's say if you repent, for example, if I steal some money, mm-hmm. right, and I go before God and say, God, I'm sorry, or I mean, in other words, I repent. Can the law of, what you're saying, that you steal some or you was dishonest, as that being a law, by me repenting, does that stop that law from going into effect, even though I repent? Basically, that being a law.
No. I mean, once you obey God, you go to sleep. I said, don't complicate this. If you violated God's law, it doesn't hurt God. Okay, always remember that. God is always okay. So it doesn't matter what you do. If you violate the law, then it shuts you down. Not God. When you repent, repent means to change your mind about what you did, which means that you intend not to do it again. That includes that. Then you open access to the consequences of obedience again. You understand? So basically, you control what happens, not God. Yeah, okay? And so, let me just tell you something that may be interesting to you. I grew up believing that when you confess your sin, it means that you're supposed to say what you did, you know, and tell God how sorry you are. And I was so embarrassed when I was in college and we were studying a class. I had a teacher named Dr. Hayden. He was my Hebrew professor. And we were studying, you know, Hebrew, which is the original language of the Bible. And we're going through, you know, this translation of these words, and this word confession came up in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word for confession doesn't mean to say anything, like, you know, to bring up anything. The word confession in Hebrew means to agree. That shocked me. So I asked Dr. Hayden, I said, well, I don't understand this. You know, all my life I heard, you know, you come before the altar and you can bring, you confess your sins, you know, you bring about your sins. He said the word confess means that you agree with God. So I said, what do you mean? He says, if your heart condemns you, if the Lord says in your heart that what you did was wrong, you just agree. It's wrong. See, we have a temptation of explaining to God why we did something.